Blog
Some friends you gain, some you lose. In the back of your mind, you're looking for love, but found the blues. That's why I've come from far away, to take away the blues. And I've come to say, I wanna be more than just somebody. I wanna be more than just a friend. I wanna be more than someone special, 'cause special friends sometimes they won't understand. Now we can laugh and share the pain, all of the tears and joy is gain. When all of us fail to show, I hope you believe and always know. Special friends sometimes they won't understand.
strength. And I need you more and more each day. Lord, I love you, the foot of the cross I will stay. Your blood, it covers me, so I'll sing hallelujah. It's a beautiful mystery, hallelujah. You love someone you can't see, and hallelujah. Be loved by you, my King, my King. And I need you more and more each day.
Announced that I was doing some series of testing and all of that, and I have so much to be thankful for, because all of the tests that has been done turned up negative, and there's nothing for me to worry about. There's nothing for my doctor to worry about, and I have so much to be thankful for and to be giving praises this morning, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful feeling. And I am so excited. Well, oh, let me see what L. Kimberly Smith says. Oh, okay, I think you're still listening. So why don't you call in? Let's chat. Let's do a little co-host thing, and let's talk about some of your Christmas experience, and I will talk about mine. Okay, let's do it now. Let's try something now. Put that scissors down and let's do something now, because I'm waiting on Ernest to call in from South Africa. I think you're hearing me. And as you know, yesterday I had technical difficulties here, and it appears as if today he is having technical difficulties in South Africa, but we still have some time left. So why don't we try and do something? You know, we're talented women. We can, you have a scissors in your hand, but I know your mouth is still do. So why don't you call in and let's do a co-host thing and talk about Christmas. Until Ernest calls in, then we can go into his conversation. So let me see what she says. Oh, she's probably thinking, every time I tune into this show, Daphne has something for me to do. So she's just an amazing woman that I know I'll be doing a lot of things with. And, you know, she is such a talented woman. You heard her on the show, I think it was last week or the week before that she was on here. Very talented. So you're going to be hearing a lot of things from her and myself here. So let me check my message to see if there's any message coming out of South Africa for me. And I know that there got to be something that is happening there why they have not called, because as I mentioned earlier on, I was on with his Ernest's PR person at 1 o'clock my 1 a.m. my time, and they were all set to go. So whatever is the hindrance, I pray now that this thing will free us up and that we can go ahead and just do what we got to do. And if you are listening out there, why don't you call in and let's talk about what this special time of the year means for you. Whether you are doing whatever holiday you celebrate, whether you are celebrating Hanukkah or celebrating whatever it is you are celebrating, call in and let us talk about that. So I am still here waiting. We still have an hour and something. We are here waiting on Ernest to call in from South Africa. And I'm very much looking forward to our conversation this morning. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Sister Kim.
Good morning to you.
How are you, my darling?
I'm doing great. Never doing one thing at a time. I thought I'll put on Daphne and then I'll go get the scissors and start cutting my hair.
What a better way to get extremely beautiful than on the voice of the dynamic one. So how are you, Daphne? I figure we will kind of do a little co-hosting this morning until Ernest comes on. And even after he comes on, if you want to remain on. Because, girl, there was some challenge yesterday. I couldn't even get the show on. And he had called in and my other guests from Washington, D.C. I'm sure you have met her on Facebook, Cheryl Wood.
Oh, I am familiar with her. I'm familiar with her. Yeah,
so the best. She has authored her first book, and she was coming on to speak with me about that and the technology messed her up. But we know that no negative force or energy that is formed against us will prosper. So I know that I was on the online this morning with Ernest's PR person at 1 o'clock my time, which was, I'm not sure what time that was in South Africa. And they were all set to come in. So I know that they will call in so long as technology allow. And if they don't call in today, we'll schedule another show.
Yes.
With them.
I was really looking forward to this episode too as well. But you know, I think what a lot of us are learning. I talked to a friend just earlier this morning. The word surrender keeps coming up in our lives.
Yes.
The divine flow. Yes.
Mhm. 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 And isn't that so powerful? And that is such an on-time word for me right now, El Kimberly, because yesterday, with all that was going on, that was exactly what I did. I surrendered. I remember way back when, if I was going through that issue, and I was thinking, oh, my health from my guest from South Africa, Cheryl, to come on to talk about her book, what's happening to this technology? But I didn't get one little bit of anxiety. I just left it there. Because I know it was. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, that's so beautiful. I love the way that, you know, you share your transitions, because I do the same thing too, because I'm going to tell you, I definitely was that girl. And, you know, and she still rises up every now and then, that when things don't go as planned, I, you know, would just go into a fit of craziness trying to make it work and make it work and make it work. But I have to say, I'm better. I'm much better as well. And then we always kind of look back and see that it was all for the best anyway. So,
Yeah. And if you're just joining us, you are listening. I tell you, El Kimberly Simiton and I, we are very spontaneous, and I know she is one of the first supporters when I came on Blog Talk that became my friend, and we just connected. I had her on the show. And now we are here co-hosting this morning. I know we are two fabulous sisters. We are talented, and we can do whatever the universe wants us to do. And here we are this morning, mixing and mingling. And that's one of the beauty of entrepreneurship, because, Kimberly, where could we be on somebody's job doing this morning?
I was thinking about that when I was sitting here cutting my hair, and I heard you say my name. And I thought the same thing too, that, you know, there is such a freedom that comes with what we do. And you know, it takes a lot of courage to have this freedom, you know, Daphne. It really does. It takes a lot of courage, you know, but it's quite rewarding, and we couldn't be on anybody's job unless we crawled under the desk and was whispering.
Whispering, girl, and put a tissue over the phone.
Yes.
And everything that we can do, you know, put the phone under our jackets and something, and have a bunch of files pile up in front of us just to disguise what we are doing. Goofy Boone, I want to welcome you to the chat room. And El Kimberly Simit and I, we are here co-hosting together while I wait for the guest to call in from South Africa. And we are going to be talking about what this season means for us, El Kimberly Smith. So, Goofy Boone, feel free to join in the conversation. The number you can call is 646-915-8166. And I welcome you. I welcome you to the room. And if this is your first time, please become a member of our site. And I got to ask El Kimberly Smith too, would you stop by the site and fill out a comment? Because you always say these amazing things to me on the phone. And I went back on my site and I said, why ain't she writing any of this up here? So this is an order for you to do. You just go there and you just write all those good things you've been telling me. So,
oh, I will certainly do that.
So let's Christmas. What do you celebrate Christmas?
I do celebrate Christmas, but my celebration of Christmas has changed a lot over the years.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, you know, I grew up celebrating it the traditional way, of course, and my mother loved Christmas time, so it was always kind of big, you know, in our house, and I always remember, which I still love, but I'm just too lazy to do, but we always had a real Christmas tree, you know, we would go out.
I love the smell.
It's just, you know, it's amazing. That was just really important to my mom, and so we grew up, and of course, with a lot of food. You know, your family, and you know, southern black people in America love a lot of food on the table, and so the food was always, you know, a big major thing, and so we, you know, it was very traditional. When I became an adult, though, and I started working, after a few years, I guess maybe about I was 27, something like that. But around that time, my mom and I remember one year, we used a kind of, I guess, what could have been a negative situation, and we turned it into just a new way of celebrating, because a lot of things had happened for both of us financially that year, and we had both had to put out so much money on a lot of things, and when Christmas time came, it just wasn't really looking that appealing to really be going out and putting more on the credit cards and spend. You know, we just really didn't want to do that. So we just kind of made a vow to each other and my brother and a couple people. We didn't really have a whole lot of family up in Philadelphia, but I had a cousin that would spend Christmas with us. And we just got, you know, we called everybody and we said, listen, we love you. Mm-hmm. We really love you. We wish you Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. But we will not be buying gifts this year, and we're asking you that if you have not already purchased a gift for us, you can donate, take that money or whatever and donate it to a good cause. But what we want to do is we want to have, you know, a party, a gathering. We're going to have food, you know, and we'll have some wine or whatever and sparkling cider and desserts, and just come over if you're free during the holiday season and just enjoy and have fun with us. And so from that year on, we just always had a big, beautiful Christmas Eve party. And, you know, people would come and we just would have a ball. Sometimes we'd be up all night, you know. And every once in a while, you know, we didn't stress ourselves out about gifts. If I saw something I really wanted my mom to have or I knew she wanted, yes, I'd buy it, and she'd do the same thing, but we limited it to one gift. We weren't spending a lot of money. But the joy of Christmas Eve and the gatherings that we had, you know, we would play games. People just had so much fun, and we watched movies. And so the big thing for us became the time spent together, more so than what did you buy me. And
that's right.
I tell you, it changed my whole life, and people still notice it, Daphne, because I'll be bouncing around during Christmas time and other people be so stressed out and they'll say, are you ready for the holidays? And I say, I'm always ready.
Always ready. Every day you wake up. You know, this is such a divine conversation that is taking place right now, because I grew up in Jamaica, Kimberly. So let me tell you, the black people in Jamaica, they love a lot of food too.
Yeah.
And I love Christmas because in my family, as a child, Christmas morning was steaks for breakfast and sometimes pork chops too. And there was a small bread that the bakeries make at Christmas time. I forgot what they call them. So I would have a whole bread, you know, and all the families in the district, each child would get a whole bread on Christmas morning. And that good homemade chocolate, I don't know if you have ever had real chocolate tea, girl. If you need to find a Jamaican place down there in Florida and ask them if they have any real chocolate. But I tell you, you hang around with me long enough, you'll taste what real homemade chocolate tea tastes like. And it was always such a good time. And then I came to the U.S. No, when I went to nursing school and moved to Montego Bay, my auntie too was into the gifts and giving a lot of gifts, but not to the extent that I observed it when I came here to America.
Yeah.
And the thing that puzzled me about that, the day after people get the gifts, the lines in the stores were so long, people was returning them. So a few years ago, I made a decision that I want to give of myself. And I have a lot of people who volunteer for me. And a couple of years back, I decided I want to do something special for them. And I started off where I would do a gathering with hors d'oeuvres, finger food, and a tiny, tiny gift. But this year, the Lord placed in my spirit and said, you know, whatever you do for your volunteer needs to be inclusive of your family members. And what we did last week, Saturday, which happened, was also my birthday. But I figure, what better day to serve the people who serve me than on my birthday? And a friend of mine who is a chef, and her husband, and another friend of mine, we came together and we got a haul, and we made the most delicious gourmet meal for my volunteers. And last night I was at the studio, and one of my cameramen, he said to me, oh, he said, that rice and peas, is it spicy? I said to him, didn't you taste it? He said, no. I'm allergic to rice. But he said, oh, I looked at that rice and I looked at it and I wish I could eat it. But then he said, everything else was so delicious. My wife and I, we enjoyed it so much. And the company, Kimberly, and the laughter, and all these people, there were some viewers of the show who came out for the luncheon too. They were getting together. They didn't know each other, and you could not tell that. That they were, a lot of them were just meeting for the first time. But it was such a powerful thing. And I think even if I had gone out and bought something for $1 million, the volunteer would have gotten it, but the family member would not have gotten anything out of it.
Yes, yes.
So we have to learn to give more of ourselves. You know, so I'm so excited that you just came up and kind of affirm what was on my spirit about that.
Well, and happy birthday to you, too. I love birthdays.
Thank you.
That's
another holiday. Oh, yes. Another year. It's so funny because an amazing prior partner and friend of mine, last Sunday, she has a group at the church called Finding Friends. And she collaborated her group with the senior group. And she had a dinner at the church. And of course, because of my age, I was qualified to go to the dinner. And this lady walked up to me in the middle of the dinner and she asked me, oh, so Daphne, in Connecticut, what age do you need to be a senior? I look her directly in her eyes, Kimberly. I said, Doris, I have no idea, nor do I have any interest of knowing.
Wow.
Because I tell you something, Kimberly. I was decked out last Sunday to go to church. because I was celebrating my birthday.
Yes.
I wore me my long navy blue dress. I wear my red velvet pumps, and I had on my mink jacket that a friend of mine, Lisa Chaloux, treated me to last year.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
I said, I don't care about senior. I don't care if they're 60, 65, 70. It's my birthday. I'm going to this dinner, and I'm looking fabulous. So I guess I was not looking the mold of the senior that she expects. So I said, oh, it's a great answer, but you ask a great question, but you ask the wrong person. Because too many people let age get in the way of them living an authentic, purposeful life, you know? And I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to be a part of that.
And I feel exactly the same way. I was fortunate enough to be born into a family of women that, you know, age meant nothing to them. And also, I, you know, grew up with women, you know, including my mom, that, you know, if somebody asked her age, she told them, I'm not used to being ashamed of my age or trying to, you know, make my, you know, say I'm younger than what I am. You know, I'm on this planet, and as long as I keep getting another year on this planet, if someone says to me how old you are, I say I'm 43. You know, and when I'm 44, hopefully next September, I'm going to say I'm 44. But I am younger, more creative, more vibrant. I try more things. I feel far better than I did when I was in my 20s. In my 20s, I had nothing but angst. You know, you worry about everything and you're insecure, you know. So I feel so much better. But I was fortunate enough not to have to grow up with women who had hang-ups about age. You know, they just did what they did in a graceful way, no matter what age they were.
Yeah,
so.
Well, you know, Kimberly, I am 63. I was 63 last Saturday. And I tell you, if I find myself counting my fingers and jotting my age down, the date of my birth down, so I can figure out what my age is, because I really don't concentrate on it. Because
yeah.
I'm not going to let I get into the way of what God called me to do. Every day he gives me is a day of gratitude and appreciation. If I'm going to go around and hide my age, I'm not empowering anybody.
Exactly.
I got to show people that regardless of what the number says, I can still accomplish anything that I am set out to do. Age is just a number.
That's all it is. And, you know, I like to share with people, too, because, you know, in the U.S. and, you know, and really in all of Western culture, we, you know, have this whole thing about thinking that we're supposed to be 25 eternally. But in Asian countries, they actually will celebrate the 50th birthday as
mm-hmm.
being your transition into adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually celebrate 50 as you becoming an adult.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
isn't that something?
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
They have huge parties in the street,
mm-hmm.
parades and all that.
Wow.
For the 50th. We do that for 16, 21, you know, but to them they're like, you're just a kid until you turn 50. Now you
that's
can
right.
live.
No,
oh, you're
that's people. Right. Life they used to say life begins at 40, but I'm glad for you sharing that. Because,
yeah.
you know, at 60, Kimberly, you got to hear this. At 60, because you know I'm single, and at 60, I decided I was throwing me a party, and I was going to own me my first diamond ring. So it took me maybe 18 months. I put the diamond ring on layaway, and I paid for it. I was finished a few months before my birthday. But I told the man, keep it in the vault for me. I do not want to wear it until the day of my 60th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, Kimberly, I rented this hall, had some friends come out to help me cook the food. We decorate the place. I had sent out invitation. And, Kimberly, when I came home to get dressed, guess what? Oh, my heavens, I forgot to pick up the ring. So, when Sunday morning, because the celebration was on a Saturday night, Sunday morning I head out to the store to pick the ring up, the man said, oh, he said, I waited here in the store until 9 o'clock because I remember you said you wanted to wear it for the party. The manager said he waited in the store because he thought I would realize I didn't have the ring and I would come to pick it up. He said, because you had me wait here, I hope you have some leftover birthday food for me to have. So I put the diamond ring home on. I went home, fixed him a plate, and took it back to him. But it is a story that I will always remember. And people look at me and said, oh, who gave you the party? I said, I did. They say, you give a party for yourself? I say, yes, I did. Because I said, am I going to walk around and have with a long face saying, I don't have anybody? You have to begin to do for yourself. And I tell women, buy yourself flowers. Those people who are gifted and blessed to find somebody to offer them flowers, good. But while you're there waiting, you got to begin to treat yourself and begin to show appreciation. So when they get around you, they realize, oh, Kimberly loves flowers.
Yeah.
Let me bring her some flowers. You know, they're not seeing empty vases sitting around. Then they figure, oh, I'm not giving her no flowers because I don't like it. You know?
And you know what? I am so glad that you told that story because it brings to mind, you know, a couple really important things that I think women really need to have to empower themselves and really begin living at whatever age. Because, you know, there's Louise Hay, who is the founder of Hay House Publishing Company that publishes, you know, of the spiritual authors like Wayne Dyer, and Doreen Virtue. Louise Hay, who is also a successful author as well as having a very successful publishing house, she didn't write her first book until she was 50 years old.
That's right. She did
not spend her whole life saying, I'm a writer, I'm a writer, I'm a writer. She, you know, she did other things, and she decided that she wanted to write it. She had something to say, and she began a whole, she's in her 70s now, running around, running a company, looking great, living life. So, you know, I'd like to share those stories with people who always feel like it's too late for them to start doing what they want to do. Julia Child was also the same way. Julia Child was almost 50 before she learned how to cook, and now we know her as the legend of, you know, the one of the best cooks that were in the world. Do you know what I mean? But she didn't start that until she was almost 50. So, you know, and also the point that you made, Daphne, and we have so much in common. Mm. I preach about this all the time. You don't need anyone to be in love. You can be in love with yourself.
That's right.
I have always lived by that, and I'm going to tell you, I've had the white wedding. I walked down the aisle. I was married for a few years. I got married at the age of 34. You know, my husband was not a bad guy. I was not a bad woman. It was just something that didn't work under that model. But before that, even as a very young woman, and still, and after that, I have always been in love with me. I have always felt great about buying myself flowers if I wanted them. I would take myself out to dinner, and I'd have girlfriends that would say, oh, well, what did you do last night? I'd say, oh, I went out to dinner. And they'd say, with who? And I'd say, with myself, the best company
out.
Whoa.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
You've always been like that. You know, and it's such a beautiful feeling. And so, you know, I just, you know, I really want women to stop this waiting and feeling that you need a being outside of who you already are to complete your life. You know, when you put it like that, it sounds ridiculous. But a lot of people are waiting for something outside of who they are to walk into their lives and complete them and bring them joy. But these are things, like you said, Daphne, that if you do meet someone or if someone is interested in you and they do walk in and they see how you treat yourself, they'll know what level they need to step up to.
You know, last week there's a gentleman. He's also one of my prayer partners, Frank Caprell. Very nice man, and we have some powerful conversations. So, as a matter of fact, I think it was last week at the volunteer luncheon, we were sitting down, and
yes.
I don't know how we got into that conversation, but he mentioned the name of somebody, and then I said to him, do you think that gentleman is deserving of me? And he said, no. I said, good, because you know your sister. He said, no, because you are a queen and your father is the king, and that man has no respect, nor does he know your father. So with just those two things,
yeah,
he is not qualified to have you. And then we laugh and we let it go, and everybody else around us looking at us as if we are crazy. But then, you know, Sunday he walk up to me at that other dinner I was. He looked in my face, Kimberly, and he said, oh, well, do you think I could interview you on your show, on my TV show now he's talking about? I said, you want to interview me? He said, yeah. I said, about what? He said, you remember how we started that conversation yesterday about that man deserving you and everything? I think you have some great wisdom to share for other women to hear. I said,
wow.
Let's do it. And I don't know when it's going to happen.
But yeah.
Women need to know, and men need to know that too, because just as some women allow themselves to be doormat, some men allow themselves to be toys, sex toys, and all kind of stupid stuff.
Yeah,
and we
yeah.
have to know to love and embrace who we are, because God has not created any second best. And there's no reason why we need to treat ourselves like second best. I tell you, Kimberly, I have been divorced since 1985, March 20th, I think, 1985. And I've been living a virtuous life since then. I can't believe I'm telling my business on global TV. global radio. But that is the spirit having me say, because we didn't plan to talk all about this. We were going to talk about Christmas. And oftentimes when I say that to people, it's the grace of God why they don't get a heart attack, because they're thinking, well, how can you do that?
Yes, yes.
And I say, but why can't I? Because that part of my life does not define who I am. Yes, when I have that part of my life intact, it adds value to my life.
Yes,
and it
yes.
helps me to embrace somebody else into my intimate world. But we need to have a true understanding about what sharing your life with somebody really means.
Yes, yes, yes. And so many people, I mean, you know, so many people that I talk to are really, really very, very distorted thinking in that area of their lives, because people are really you know, they, many people don't realize it, but even with the issue of sex and you know, how people act out in that way, it, you know, people are wanting something. They're wanting to feel something that they really don't know how to get to. You know, it's much easier to just have a one-night stand than it is to actually work on your spirit on a daily basis.
Exactly.
But what they see, but sometimes does not sink in, is that they keep wanting and wanting and wanting and wanting because they keep feeling empty and empty and empty and empty. So, you know, people really need to realize, first of all, what life in its totality really, really means, because it's about body, mind, and spirit. They tend to funnel that energy. They tend to funnel that energy and that desire really for God and for fulfillment and for joy into sex and, you know, a whole lot of other things. You know, and as you said, all of those things may add to our lives, but they don't make our lives. They're just you know, it's just icing on, you know, on a cake. And that's what we really need to understand. You know, we make our lives. We are life. Mm-hmm. We are life. Mm-hmm. You know,
this conversation we are having now, there's a lot of families who need to have this kind of conversation with our young people.
Yeah.
Because our young girls think that they need to act like Hoochie Mamas. They need to just have 2 inches of elastic over their bodies instead of dressed in modesty. And they have to be having all their body parts on demonstration. And we as grown women need to speak about the virtuous lives that we have lived. I'm not saying that as teenagers we still didn't do some crazy stuff, but we still can't think of those things as crazy as some of the stuff that these kids nowadays are doing. You know, because I know growing up in Jamaica, when I was thinking of doing anything crazy, I would hear my mama's voice by my head. So I couldn't do anything too crazy. I remember because my mama was a church lady. She wasn't into all this scam music and all of that stuff. And when she would send me to the store to buy anything, to the shop, we didn't call them no store, we called them shop. I was so excited when it's a day that they have the dance out by the community hall, Kimberly. Because the shop was close to the community hall and I could stop at the fence. I couldn't go in because I didn't have money to pay to go in.
Yeah.
But I could stop at the fence. I would hear the music and I would dance. And what I did, if she asked me to buy 3 things, I buy 2 and forget 1 so that she could send me back to get it. I could get I got me a little more dancing on. So I always tell my son, don't try to pull no wool over my eyes, because I've had mine, you know. But it's just amazing to sit back and talk about these things, and we need to be more open to our young people, because I went to I think it was Marvin Sapp a few years ago. He was in a city close to me at an Easter performance.
Okay.
And he was talking about women. Women need to be more open to each other and talk to each other. And he was saying that a lot of times we women who are in the church and another sister who's getting the booty call and she's just new in church, but the man cannot give up. He's still making the booty call. And she called us, and you are saying, oh, praise the Lord, sister. Just, oh, this too shall pass. Don't tell her this too shall pass. You need to tell her what you did. You need to stay on that phone with her and talk her through what's going on so she won't go. But he said that a lot of women, you know, we get saved and we became Christians, and all of a sudden we became so angelic, you know?
Yes.
We act like
a lot of that.
We never take a drink. We never had sex out of marriage and everything. So everything that these young people are now coming to tell us, we cannot give them real answers.
Yes, exactly. Because people are so busy, you know, people are so busy in judgment, you know, as well. When you can't share your humanity, you know, the fact that you have lived more than one life or had more than one way of living since you came on this planet, when you can't share that you've done this or that, you know, you're not being authentic, and it does more harm. It does more harm than it does good, because these young ladies know. I mean, you know, and the young men as well. But these young people, they know that these things, you know, deep down. Oh, I know mom partied. I know mom did this. I know. But when you try to keep all of that from them, you know, you're really, really harming them. They, you know, they need to see authenticity. That's the only way. And also, it allows them to see the transformation. You know, my mother always shared, we had some really good times talking about her college days. But it allows you to see, and you know, and she said, I got it out of my system, and that's why now, you know, I love all this peace and stability in my life. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we need to just be authentic. Just be authentic.
You know, and I think parents nowadays don't give the kids the respect. They think kids are stupid. Kids can see through you like a pane of glass.
I had
an awakening a few years ago when I think my son was in high school, and he has some friends over, and they were in his room talking, and I was sitting in my bedroom reading, and I heard the boy say to them, "Oh no, my ma don't play that. As a matter of fact, I don't think from my ma got pregnant that she got a little piece. My ma don't pray that." And I bang on his wall, Kim. I said, "Boy, stop talking my business." You know what he said? "But I'm not telling lie. I'm telling the truth."
Yeah.
And you know what I got out of that, Kimberly? I said, "Oh, no. What if I had men parading in and out the house?"
Yes.
It's the same way he would have been telling his friends.
Yes, exactly.
So, you know, if we would spend time talking more to the young people, they would not have to go be wanting to experiment things. They would say, "Listen, if Miss Kim had gone through it, Miss Daphne has been through it, Ma has been through it, I too can overcome."
Yes, exactly. Exactly, and that's what they need to know. You know, they don't need to hear fairy tales. You know, that's what they need to know. And people have always said, which is very true, that no matter what you say anyway, they're really watching. You know what I mean? They're really watching how you live your life. So, you know, you can say a lot of things, but it needs to be backed up with how you actually live your life. You know, and our young people are everything. There's going to be a lot of power in them really having authentic relationships with their parents. What is going on cannot continue. You know, people really need to understand that they are people. They're young people, but they're people still.
I just want to piggyback on something you said earlier on about us, you know, being real and talking. I was letting people know and sharing our experience. I was sitting with a couple this past week, clients of mine, and I was saying to them, I just want you to be clear that when I work with you, I said, I think it's safe to say 3/4 of the things I'm sharing with you. I said, do you realize how many stories I share with you? I said, what I'm talking to you about is not what I learned at counseling school when I did counseling. It's not what I learned when I did coaching. It's not what I learned when I did nursing. I said, it's my life I have lived.
Yes.
And now I have refined it and designed it into what I'm doing so you can shorten your curve of learning. We need to do that more in everything we do. Our stories are what makes us authentic.
Yes, exactly.
You know, we are up to 38 minutes in waiting, and I haven't heard Ernie, so I am really calm. I feel that there's something technical that happened because I'm checking my phone, too, to see if they send a message, and I don't see anything. So if they're not communicating via computer, something is done. But we are going to get this together regardless of what is going on. So I know this is your first warm Christmas, huh?
Yes. And actually, it was a beautiful Thanksgiving, too. I think Thanksgiving was just such a glorious day in every way. It was about 84 degrees, and the humidity was low, so it was breezy, and it was just gorgeous.
Kimberly, I should know better than raise that topic with you that you were just going to get off bragging. Oh, you are such a bragger.
Oh my heavens. Well, if it'll make anyone feel better, we did have a cold spell. We did have a cold spell. The nights got kind of cold the past few days, but we seem to be climbing out of that. So, like, today is a little chilly. It's only going to get up to about 72 today. So that's a little chilly.
I thought of you last Saturday because my friends have a 4-year-old son, Lucas, and they had just returned from Florida. And while they have a villa down there, and while they were there, they visited Miami, stayed in a fabulous hotel. He went on a cruise ship and all of that, a ball game and all of that. So I looked at him and I said, Lucas, so what did you do to that in that very cold Florida?
Yeah.
I said, did you wear shorts? He looked at me, smiled, he said, yeah, and sometimes I wear long trousers. I said, and what else did you do in that cold Florida? He said, Auntie Daphne, I ski when it wasn't even snowing. His mom looked at him and she shook her head. She could not believe what he said. And I said, oh, my nephew have a sense of humor, so. He was playing along with me. He said, well, it was cold. So he went so keen. It was so funny.
Oh, gosh. Kids are something else.
Are you making dinner for your newly acquired friends?
You know what? I think actually we had planned. There's a few of us that have planned to get together and Felicia Rose will be singing at a place on Christmas Day, so I will probably go see her. And but we also had planned something for Christmas Eve because I mentioned that was kind of special for me. And since my mom passed, Christmas Eve is very special. So I think we're going to get together at Mother Earth Cafe with Patty and hang out. We're going to light a fire, and just enjoy ourselves. And because this place has drawn a lot of people who have relocated and changed their lives. And so there's quite a few people here that, that don't have families here. And we've just kind of really bonded and made our own family. So it'll be special and it'll be quiet and peaceful and there will be food because
that's right. Hey, we can.
So there will be food. I don't know if it'll be coming from my oven, but
there will be food.
There will definitely be food and music. A couple of my friends down here are musicians, and so I'm so fortunate because I get to hang around people who will pull out a guitar and just start singing a song. You know, it's like, it's beautiful. So so there will be food and music, and it'll be nice. Yeah.
Isn't that beautiful? This past Monday, I went to this non-traditional working, networking event. And this gentleman, there's a gorgeous theater not in the town that I live, but in another town.
Yeah.
And for years, I used to live in that town, and I saw that place is always locked up. I did not know what the inside looked like. And they have begun the refurbishing of it. And this gentleman has a networking event that he began doing. And what he is doing, Kimberly, he is bringing in artists. His event starts at 6, goes until 9. There is some hors d'oeuvres and networking. Then you go, you listen to the musician, then you go back and network. And I said, how neat.
Wow, that is.
I said, wow. And I went, and the gentleman, you know, it was a great performance. And I said, my God, I look around, the place was partially empty. And I said, something of this caliber, people really don't come out. And I said to the gentleman, the organizer, I said, don't be discouraged. Keep doing it. The right people will find it. And
yeah.
The right people will come. Because it was such a refreshing atmosphere to see people who are not interested in pushing business cards.
Yes, yes.
They were about establishing relationships.
Yeah,
and that's what it was about.
Wow, that's wonderful. So, well, I think that people are going to more and more see that in these coming years of this time on this planet, that really is going to be our saving grace, is the relationships and the communities that we build. It's not going to be effective to compete. It's not going to be effective to try to shut other people down or out or try to raise somebody to the finish line. It's going to be all about building community and saying, and I love the way that you say, you know, how we can add value to one another. That's what the trend is going to be. That's where it's going, and that is why you're seeing, and we're all seeing, this sort of system that looks as though it's crumbling, okay, because it must crumble for this newness to come in. And so, you know, yes, there are a lot of people who, you know, are frustrated and without, and, you know, there's all this, you know, economic stuff going on and can't turn on the TV without hearing about it. But just to give a light of hope to people who may be in some fear about it, you know, just know that, you know, you have to demolish old buildings before you put up the new thing. And so we're just moving into a time, we're in a transition where that's what business is going to be about. It's about community, and it's about building relationships, and it's about us really wanting to add value to one another and not just say, what do you have for me? You know, and
exactly. Because what's going on, what the world is going through now is a presidency. And if people are in labor, we are in labor to give birth. And as you say, you demolish a building, yes, in order for a new thing to grow.
Yes.
And now is the season. In order for a new thing to come, something has to die.
Yes,
and,
exactly.
And that's what happened. So your collaboration is a big word on top of my list now. And I know this conversation that we are having right now was destined for this day. I didn't know, you didn't know, but God knew.
Yes.
We are going to be doing a lot of things together. I just feel it so strong in my spirit. I want to I was about to welcome Miss Quiet Storm to the chat. And excuse me. I know that there are people, Kimberly, that is popping up all over the globe wanting to have conversation. And I said, look at this. Once you tell God you're...
I lost you. I'm not sure if I can still be heard, but I'll dial back in.
Yes, we. Excuse me. We had a bit of a technical difficulty. I was sitting here and my computer went black. And I was in the middle of a conversation with L. Kimberly Smith. And I got kicked off, but came back on. And here we have a remaining 15 minutes. For those of you who signed in and was to hear Ernest, you realize that I think he had some difficulties too and did not get to call in. But believe you me, we will get this conversation going sooner than later. And I want to just thank my friend L. Kimberly Smith for picking up the slack and for just coming on and adding such great value to the conversation this morning. Isn't she an amazing, phenomenal woman? And earlier on in the episode, she spoke about cutting her hair, and I'm thinking, man, where did she get any hair to cut? I see she's there. Oh, Kim. Yes, I am back on. So, I don't know if you're still there. We can continue our conversation, my sister. So, you know, this was so such a good conversation that we are having. And I hope she comes back on. We were both just sharing what Christmas meant to us, and then we went into a whole lot of other stuff about being female, being virtuous, and all of that stuff. So this was a good conversation today, another great conversation. So if you are here, if you are on, Kimberly, and if you are hearing me, you can call back in to close out this conversation. And let us just wrap this segment up today. This was such a beautiful conversation. It was a great show. I mean, as she mentioned about the ability. Well, good morning. Is this Ernest?
Hi, Tiffany. This is Ernest. Thanks so much.
Oh, my heavens. I think you were having technical difficulties?
Yes, I did. And Linda told me, but I'm glad I'm here now.
Oh, I'm wondering. I'm going to go on.
Yes.
While I have you, we only have 13 minutes.
No problem.
I am not technically savvy, but I have a friend. If she's in the chat room, I'm going to ask her, how do I go on and possibly try to extend this time so we can speak? If not, we can speak now and I will schedule another full segment with you.
No problem, definitely.
Which would you like to do?
It's really up to you. I'm open today, but if Linda's schedule is appropriate, I wouldn't mind as well.
Yeah, because the thing is, she's not on now. I went back to speak to her. She's not live there, so she did not see what I type. But why don't I don't know how to do this thing.
Don't really stress.
Okay, you know, I am going to do something. In the meantime, Ernest, why don't you continue? You just speak. Introduce yourself while I try to go on and extend the show. And then I will be back with you. So just go ahead Tell people who you are, where you're from, and all of that.
I'm not that comfortable with that, but I can try and
okay,
do it.
All right. No, then. Let me just speak with you, and then I will schedule another full episode where we can have you share your story.
No problem, Bethlehem, and I'm sorry about it.
Oh, no, because yesterday, you know, I told my followers on Twitter yesterday, I said, the enemy is not going to stop me from having this conversation with Ernest, because this conversation was divinely planned, and nothing is going to stop it. Yesterday, it was my technology. Today, it was yours, but we are going to get this done. And
I'm actually touched. I think I felt the same. Actually, I had flu yesterday, and I didn't know if we were going to do it. And I was happy when you actually postponed.
Mm-hmm.
But I also felt the same, that we have to do it. It's not for us. It's for everybody else.
That's right.
That's
right, Ernest. Because, you know, I have to let people know that Ernest and I have not really met. However, you all have heard me speaking about the dreaming room. And Ernest is also the facilitator, one of the facilitators in South Africa. Because there are two facilitators in South Africa, right, Ernest?
True.
Right. And Ernest is number one. But then I was speaking with another friend of mine, who I met online here too, who is a facilitator. And he mentioned about Ernest to me, and here we are speaking today. So I want what we are going to spend the next 9 minutes doing, Ernest, to make today worth your while. We are going to talk about your feeling about the dreaming room, and why did you come all the way from South Africa to be part of this phenomenal revolution? How do you pronounce your last name?
Ngubo.
Ngubo?
Ngubo.
Ngubo.
Yeah, N-G-U-B-O.
Yes, I've been trying to pronounce it. It's like your PR person. I asked her last night, I said, are you male or female? And she was cracking up. She said, I didn't see that question coming. So let's talk about the dreaming room for you. And then when we schedule the next one, as a matter of fact, before you leave off the air, we can talk about when we will have you on.
That's proper. Definitely the dreaming room, it's very, very difficult to say what led me into the dreaming room, but in a short sense, I read Michael Gerber in 2002,
mm-hmm.
and I started to like his concept of where every business can be run like a McDonald's. If you start your business, start it as if you're gonna sell it. Work on your business and not in your business. You know, and I started applying the techniques into my own business.
Right.
But I've always had this idea of doing something bigger than myself, and engineering was not giving me that, which is my present business.
Right.
And I started, as you saw in my website, you know, I started writing and researching about the concept of purpose, because I thought maybe if I'm going to follow something bigger than myself, I need to understand the concept of purpose.
That's right.
And about a year ago, I had decided, in fact, this year I would stop my company and start, and then maybe become a coach or something like that. And
mm-hmm.
then I came across his book, The Awaken the Entrepreneur Within.
Mm-hmm.
And it just sized my heart, because I thought, yeah, it's me. This is what I've been looking to do.
Wow.
And I need to speak to this man. I didn't even know that he was going to have facilitators. And I actually wrote an email to Michael Gerber and said, you know, I would like to because even if I come to the training room, I would actually like to change the training room to South Africa. Only to find that actually that opportunity was going to come, and then in May I realized that my son was doing that, and I did everything to make sure that I come to America. And it's been a real roller coaster for me, and I learned so much. And that's how I came to do the training room.
Yeah. It's amazing because prior to going out there for the first dreaming room, because I am one of the chartered participants in the dreaming room, and to be honest, Ernest, I was not as blessed as you are. I never read Michael's work. I didn't know about Michael, and I said to him when I was selected to go, I said, "Man, I guess I was probably under a rock." But, you know, I'm a strong believer that nothing happens before the time. On this journey, on this empowered path that you and I and everybody else who is under the sound of our voice is on, it's a process. It's a process. And things are happening in our lives when we are ready for the various evolution to take place. So,
I think that's very true. You know, it's the statement, when the student is ready, the teacher will come.
Teacher will come.
That's
so right.
True.
That's right. That is so true. A lot of people is going around instead of preparing themselves for the opportunity, because when we are not prepared, we don't see the opportunity. You
very
know,
true.
You got
very
to
true.
Prepare. To see that and to embrace it, because if you were not preparing yourself for these past 2 years, you would not be ready to take that flight out to San Marcos when you did.
In fact, it goes a long way. You know, I know we talked about maybe to stop, but you know how I came into a motivational book? It was in 1985.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew there was something called motivational books or anything, but I went to the post office and I see someone throwing a magazine into a dustbin.
Uh-huh.
I go and took out this magazine, and it was The Plain Truth. I don't know if you remember The Plain Truth. It was edited by W. Armstrong.
Yes, uh-huh.
And it was a free magazine that was a Christian inclined magazine.
Publication.
And that's how I came across motivational books. It was when he was offering a few books, and one of them is 7 Laws of Success. I know it's on the internet now, it's free.
Yes,
his 7 Laws of Success was my introduction to what is now, personal development and all that. That's how I came to
prove you something like that. Yeah, you know, Ernest, and this is why I know I'm so connected to you, because, you know, when I read your story from your website that Tom sent me, I said, my God, here is a young man in South Africa whose story is part of my story. How neat is that? And this is why I'm telling the world, brace yourselves for when we get this gentleman on to tell his story, because you want to be empowered, this is the story that is going to change your world. For some people, his story is going to rock your world. For others, it is going to cement the world that you're looking to create. And it's just amazing. Ernest, I want to ask you whether Wednesday the 20th of December at the same hour, are you opening to come back on? Are you open to come on for the conversation?
Definitely, because you know this is my home time. I think you can feel the dog, you can hear the dogs barking. I'm at home, so this time is the best time for me, actually.
It is the best time.
It is the best time for me, yeah.
Okay, so I am going to schedule you, and I will confirm it with your PR manager. And we are going to have you on the full episode so you can share your story with the world.
I would appreciate that.
Because you have a powerful story. You have a powerful story. So, what's Christmas? We have 2 minutes, and then we're going to play the closing song. But do you celebrate Christmas?
I do. We, in fact, we are on holiday today. It's Ingans Day in Durban, in South Africa. But we are preparing for Christmas now.
Okay, wonderful. So, Ernest, I am thankful that you call in, and I will have you back on the 20th, and we are going to have you on for the full segment to share your story with the world.
I will appreciate it, and thanks so much, Stephanie, for the opportunity.
Oh, it was a pleasure.
Apologies for all these problems and all that, but I think now we are connected again, and it never happened again.
Yes, yes. Give my regards to your family.
I would do so.
What's the place that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
is a strong God. You may not be able to touch him right now. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody. You're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change nations and generations. Come on and praise your God.
Well, good morning or good afternoon.